Welcome back to Lili Logic. I'm Lisa Smith Henderson, the host, and you can go to lililogic.com to learn more. Check out the show notes if you want links to some of the resources that Sammy talked about in the previous podcast. And also, if there's anything in this one, you'll find it there. Sammy has been kind enough. She's a millennial mom, a single mom who works full time, and she's shared some of her experience about what it's like to be the mom of a teenager. And so one of the things that I want to talk about is, what do parents owe children? For example, my father was of the idea that all he owed his children was an education, a college education. And I didn't want that. And it pained my father very deeply that I didn't want that. My feeling was, all I owe my children is therapy, and I'll pay for it until they're 21. Because I knew there was no way not to screw up. I just knew it. You said your kid will be in therapy. I assume your kid's in therapy now.
Yeah, and has been for a while. You know, and I sent her first to play-based therapy. And what that meant, when I was a kid, I went to therapy and it was like we'd play games and we would talk kind of thing. But this play-based therapy is specifically about teaching skills that's geared towards the kid. For example, my kid had a lot of perfectionist anxiety from a really young age. And the therapist said, you know, today your assignment is to make a collage and you cannot use scissors. So no matter what, it would be imperfect. And that was the kind of, you know, and that's again, one of those things where it's like, we are the examples, everything that we do, they're noticing, unfortunately. And, you know, so for her, she saw both of her parents, my daughter, both of her parents, I think, had that perfectionist quality and, you know, adopted that, not because I ever said or that her dad ever said. Her dad was so hardcore about never saying like, good job. He would say, please say good try rather than good job, because the difference between like you made an attempt versus completing a task was so important. But she still, you know, picked up on how we treated ourselves.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think there's kind of no getting around some of this. My daughter was in a school that had no grades from the time she was three until she was in fifth grade or sixth grade. And I thought that was helpful. Well, it didn't matter. The drive to compete was still there, and to succeed and to do well. I mean, I was scared to death. I was like, I don't know I think my kid's smart, but I don't really know. I don't know if she's going to get A's or D's or whatever it was. And so I think you're right. None of us know how to be parents. You know, as an adult, having dealt with childhood trauma, and as a parent, I hope I give my children that permission as adults. Like, hey, man, it's okay to say you screwed me up, and it's okay for me to do something about it as an adult to fix it.
Yeah. As a parent, it does suck to hear that. You know, you're giving so much of your life. I mean, you know, for me, my entire adult life has been being someone's mother. And so when she turns 18 and I am, you know, not legally responsible for her anymore, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to move to the moon and do whatever I want, you know, which will totally screw her up, because my entire adult life and her entire life has been about being her parent. And, you know, so it's like we give so much and no matter what, it's not going to be right. It is not, we're not graded, you know, and I do think another point around childhood trauma is generational trauma. And
yeah, but will you speak a little bit about that? What was your experience growing up with trauma?
No, just kidding. Both of my parents had very traumatic childhoods, like capital T, all capital letters kind of trauma. And I did not experience that level of abuse physically, emotionally, sexually. I've experienced no abuse of that kind of nature that they had undergone. And they both had, very severely mentally ill mothers. I mean, just almost anything you can think of, that it happened to them, especially to my mother. And so I didn't think that I had any kind of trauma because it didn't look at all like that. And then as an adult, sometimes I tell people who, especially people who had like, two parents in their house and their parents are still married and whatever, whatever, I'll tell them some of the things that happened in my childhood from my parents, and they'll be like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you." And I just think, what are you talking about? Like, that's whatever, I wasn't hit. I wasn't, yeah, there was, but I would go to therapists who would say, who thought that I was a survivor of sexual abuse because my mother was a survivor of sexual abuse. And a lot of the characteristics that I was displaying as a teenager, especially, were very similar. And it's not because I had survive sexual abuse. It is because the characteristics and the way that my mother had to operate, had to survive that, ended up passing it down. And with my own child around some of that stuff, I'm realizing I've gone probably too far. My mother was very open with us because she didn't want there to be secrets because there were so many secrets growing up. And that was true. I mean, truly awful. And I think partly because of the times, in the 60s and early 70s, but also because of the nature of the abuse and alcoholism and mental illness that was going on. So there were no secrets. And then now I've gotten to a point where I'm realizing with my own daughter, she doesn't know me very well. I haven't told her very much. And she's just starting to get curious about some of these things. And now, we're going to doctor's appointments and things like that, and they're asking for family history. And I have to, and I'm telling these doctors before I've even told my daughter, about some of this. And there is no formula on how much do you tell or how much do you keep, like what is appropriate and the timing of when that is. And, for me, the best thing that I can do is sort of, as that door opens, I can start to walk through it, but I don't have to be the one to bust it down. And, I just, yeah, but I do think that the more that we are able to look at this stuff and heal on our own, and the initial kind of question of juggling it all, I do think in that self-care and self-improvement, we'll say, is really important in order to heal that generational trauma. In theory, I think therapists talk about it a lot, like, oh, you're doing this work and whatever, but it's, who's to say what might happen in another 20 years to my generation of my generation of kids or whatever. We don't know, but we're doing the best that we can.
Well, and I do believe in that being able to heal trauma backwards and forwards. I mean, that just happens to be my personal belief system. I did some work with Peter Levine, who coined and kind of invented somatic experiencing. It doesn't really matter what happened, it's stored in our bodies, and if we can get in touch with it. And he did a lot of ancestral healing. And I do believe it's possible, if I will do some of this work, that I can heal my grandchildren, my children. I mean, maybe even backwards, but I certainly can help heal myself, which leads me to my last question. And I don't like the word self-care because it sounds like, oh, you're just going to go take a bubble bath. And, that's what they do. But I always think of it, you're on the airplane and they say, put the oxygen mask on yourself first, then put it on your child. And in your experience, what does that look like? How do you make sure that you have your own way to take care of yourself if you feel like I'm going to get snappy here or whatever, what does that look like to you?
Did you do that as a parent, you think?
Well, I didn't think of it as that. No, I didn't. I thought
No,
that was
you
no. I mean, I thought my job was to be a full-time parent. It never crossed my mind. I mean, I was always in therapy, but that was kind of, I just looked at that as a necessity. That didn't seem like any luxury. Like today, as an adult woman, I think I'm going to put on some music and I'm going to dance. And that's the way I'm going to feed myself. It never crossed my mind as a mom.
I do, and I think there are more. People will give me gift cards to get a massage or to go to the spa or whatever. And a lot of times in my mind, that's one more thing I have to add to the list of things that I have to do. So when a mom hears, I mean, and I follow a lot of like mommy things. There's one in particular that I keep getting targeted called the care gap. And it does have these like funny things of not funny. I mean, a lot of them are very, women doing 70% of the work in the household kind of thing, those kind of stats. But a lot of it is like, okay, take care of your kids, have a career, go to the dry cleaner, do all this, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and also take care of yourself. Bye. And there's no really like fit all of that in. And I also don't think that we are giving people a lot of ideas on what self-care looks like, right? Because the idea of you hear self-care and you do think bubble bath. And a mom of any child that's under the age of probably 12 is getting, the door of the bathroom is being knocked on, mommy, mommy. And, a lot of times, no offense to dads, but a lot of times daddy is sitting on the couch watching TV, but they just don't think to ask the father because we haven't set it up that way. So, as far as what it looks like for me, I didn't go to mommy and me groups. I didn't have other mom friends to tell me, hey, you've got to do this, or I'll take your kids so that you can go do what you need to do. I just didn't. I mean, I have, certainly some family members that will come in, but there wasn't. I didn't have a dad in the house. I mean, you see, if you go Sunday mornings to any coffee shop, a lot of times you will see dads with little kids so that mom has an hour by herself at home. There are a lot of dads that I see doing that. I didn't have that. And so for me it was like figuring out these little times. I've lost a lot of sleep attempting to have a life or have self-care or I mean,
Have fun.
yeah, I mean, and I know a lot of moms are like that where they will stay up later because it means that they get time by themselves without, and especially after my kids started going to bed later than 8 p.m. Those were the days, 8 p.m. But a lot of parents are cleaning up the house after that. And so it is really, I think, letting go, honestly, letting go of some of that pressure to do self-care and to feel like, oh, I got to put the oxygen mask on myself before I put it on this kid. Because the reality is the kid's more hungry than I am. The kid's got to go pee more than I do. I'm an adult, I can hold it, they can't. So it's just, discerning between those things is really hard.
And for most moms that I know, that is the gift, getting out of the house. That's the gift.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the house, you're supposed to be cleaning up, tending, shopping, fixing, sewing something, folding.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and even actually, I work with this guy, and he's a dad of three, two in the house, one's graduated out of the house, and we talk about vacation time, and my boyfriend is like, wants to go skiing, and I don't go outside, so I will not be skiing, especially in the cold, but he wants to go skiing, and he's like, well, we need to go somewhere where you have stuff to do, and I said to him, it would be amazing to go somewhere and do nothing. And I was talking about this with my coworker, and some of the other guys are around, and the other guys are like, yeah, I know a lot of women who like don't want to do anything. And this dude is, has these kids, and he's like, I would love to go somewhere and do nothing. Because, he's a very involved dad, He's active, he's got two boys. I mean, it's just, constant all the time running around. So just that idea of like leaving the house, and he doesn't like to work from home for the same reason. I like to work from home. My child's always been really easy and like sits in a corner and, plays with Legos. So it's always been easy for me to find that kind of, work from home time or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that kind of chaos, getting out of the house sounds good.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially over winter break, I heard so many moms going, I got out and got to a dance class. It's like I got out of the house. I'm going to the drugstore. Everybody's sick at home, but I'm out of the house. And I think one thing I do want to say to all the women I talk to who have children still at home, there will come a day where you will be able to sleep in and you will not have to get up and fix a meal. You will not have to get up and make sure somebody is dressed and out the door. Because my kids were 6 years apart. So I did that for 24 years, with the exception of a year and a half where I worked mornings and somebody else got my kids ready and got them to school. But now, I'm sure my neighbors, they've got two kids in school, and it's like it's 10 o'clock and her outdoor light's still on and the curtains are closed. Like, hell yeah, baby. 10 o'clock. I'm sleeping in if I don't have to. And that luxury will come your way.
And I went to the doctor today, and she said that she had her kid at 42 and she's 44 now. And so she did all of the, career building and doing her own thing and moving and, whatever up until 42. And I've done it the exact opposite, where it was, I'm 21 and I'm getting up with the kid and doing the whole thing. And trying to build a career and all that kind of stuff at the same time, and relationships and whatever. But yeah, I mean, just the idea of, and I used to think I wanted more kids, and now I'm at a point where I'm like, I am so close to being done. I'm so close. So yeah, it's there will come a time for sure.
Yeah, and it'll be sad too. You know, when they leave, it's like it'll feel very quiet,
Well, I
but
don't know who I'll be. Like, I don't know who I am outside of, having been this role for so long. I mean, who what am I, I mean, I've certainly lived a life, but yeah, who am I just gonna go bananas? Probably. I don't, I just like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
you won't go bananas like, a kid coming out of high school that's going off to
Oh my
college.
gosh, that's
But
throw everything in
you
the air.
might be like, wow, you might travel a lot or do some things you wouldn't have done. So, Sammy, thank you so much for taking time out of being a mom to talk to me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Lili Logic as we explore all kinds of topics. We'll be talking about grief and coping with hookups and Cheetos next week. So thanks for listening. You can always follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and you can find us on all of your favorite platforms. If you want to know more, lililogic.com is the place. We'll see you next week.